Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, we read about a series of questions that God asks and a series of answers that Adam and Eve give back to God. These verses capture God's Q&A. God hosts this question and answer session. As a quick review, we saw that in these five verses, God asks four questions. He asks Adam, "Where are you?" That's question number one, "Where are you?" Then he asks Adam question number two, "Who told you that you were naked?" And question number three is also for Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Finally, the fourth question is one God asks Eve, "What is this you have done?" God asks the questions, God demands the answers. We have here a question-asking God. From this we drew two insights. First, when God asks a question, it is not because God does not know the answer. God knows everything. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. So whatever the reason he has for asking a question, the reason is never that God does not already know the answer. He has other reasons for his inquiries, as we shall see going now verse by verse. And the second and important insight I shared yesterday was this. God asks these questions because God is being gracious to the man and gracious to the woman. The motivation in God's questions is grace. God is motivated by grace. At this point in the true story, it is to be expected that God will immediately bring down his quick judgment on Adam and Eve. God has clearly stated what the punishment is for eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve ate, Adam ate, and here comes holy God in judgment, right? Oh yes, that is right, as we shall see beginning in verse 14. But first, God asks some questions. God's grace precedes God's judgment. What God is doing here is to draw out Adam and Eve and to bring them both to repentance for their sin. God desires that they come out of hiding to him, and that by doing so, they willingly confess what they have done as sin, as wrong, and by coming quickly towards God, they cast themselves on his grace, mercy, and compassion. God is not looking for information, as we said. God knows where they are and why they are hiding, because God knows full well what they have done. But he does not come storming into his garden, yank back the trees in which they hide, grab Adam and Eve by the back of their necks, and haul them before him in judgment. No, God does not do that. Instead, he wants to show the man and the woman that they are sinners in need of his amazing grace. He wants to woo them to himself. And giving you further proof of this, we wandered over to Genesis chapter 4 and read about God asking very similar questions of Cain when he sinned by expressing unjustified anger against his brother Abel and then murdering Abel. Did God judge Cain for this sin? Yes. But first, God offered Cain an opportunity to take responsibility for his sin by drawing out Cain with a series of questions. As God did with Father Adam and Mother Eve, so God did with the son Cain. God is consistent. God never changes. He never wavers. God's grace always precedes God's judgment. Always. But no one should ever misinterpret this to mean that God's grace cancels out God's judgment. Not so. God is gracious, and God is judge. And we will see that as clear as day down in verses 14 and following of Genesis 3. But before we get there, I want to take us back to verse 9 to wrestle with that some more. To do that, let me read it. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" We must remember that the context of this question is that Adam is a sinner. He has deliberately and intentionally sinned against God by eating of the forbidden fruit. God said, "Do not eat." Adam said, "I will now eat." And he ate. So that now the perfect fellowship that Adam had enjoyed with God is gone. God is holy. Adam is unholy. Sin creates separation between God and man. And yet, holy God takes the initiative and comes looking for unholy man. Our friend, Bible commentator, and pastor Robert C. Harbash has many good things to say about this verse, and I will quote him now. Adam was not gone from God's memory or knowledge, but from God's communion. Very true. The communion between God and man is broken. This is Adam's fault. This is Adam's responsibility. And yet, here comes the Lord God who asks, "Where are you?" I really hope you will grasp this. God seeks for Adam. Adam does not seek for God. When we read this Bible cover to cover, we learn that it is always God who takes the initiative with sinful men and women. We do not read in Scripture of people being the first to pursue God. No, people are too busy hiding from God, sprinting in the opposite direction from God, boldly carrying out their evil, prideful intentions, happy to have God out of their lives. And yet, still God seeks and finds those who, from his perspective, are lost. I know for a fact that I was not seeking after God when he found me. And I suspect that if you Christians will think about it, you were not seeking God either. He pursued you. He called out to you. He found you. Who was lost was found in Christ. And speaking of Jesus, he testifies repeatedly to what God did in seeking out Adam and Eve. Oh, there's just so much scripture on this. We could dedicate the week to it. But let me discipline myself and match the task to the limited amount of time that I have. Listen to the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 44. John 6, 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." We do not come to Jesus on our own initiative. First, God the Father draws us to Jesus, then we come. And back in the garden in Eden, first God draws Adam and Eve to him, then they come. We sometimes make much of "come to Jesus." Pastors and evangelists like to give such an invitation at the end of a sermon or presentation of the gospel. And the truth is, anyone who genuinely does come to Jesus on such an occasion does so because God has already been drawing that person. Prior to that moment, usually a long time before that moment, God has bent that person's will to the will of God. None of us come to Jesus on our own initiative. Jesus comes to us on God's initiative. This is what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Philippians 2, 13. Another way to understand this is to read Jesus again in John's Gospel, this time in chapter 10. At the beginning of John 10, Jesus is using the analogy of a shepherd and the shepherd's sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And he says that, as the good shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them. And Jesus says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Sheep do not take the initiative to follow the shepherd. No, the shepherd uses his voice to call the sheep. The sheep recognize his voice and follow him. Let me quote Jesus now in John 10, verses 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That was John 10, 27 through 30. And you heard there again, my Father who has given them to me. God takes the initiative. It is always God who takes the initiative with sinful men and with sinful women. The cry of Father God goes out to his lost children, to the children who have run away from him, and he still comes asking, where are you? Today, are you a sinner hiding from God? You know that your sin has separated you from him. But do you hear his voice calling to you? Where are you? When you hear God's gracious voice, will you step out from your hiding place? Will you come out from among the bushes, as it were, and answer, here I am, God? Will you allow yourself to be drawn to him, to confess to him, I am a sinner, and to receive from him his forgiveness for you through Jesus Christ? Will you respond to the voice of God calling to you? You there, right where you are, will you respond to the voice of God? Well, you say, I responded to God's voice a long time ago, so I'm good. Ah, dear Christian, are you not a sheep that has strayed away from Christ's sheepfold? And has he not left the 99 to come calling for you who have run away? Now is the time to surrender yourself to the seeking good shepherd and to let him bring you back to the fold. He will seek you and he will find you. Join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.